Let's actually put Pat through a similar quiz to the one that Declan just put us through. Pat, we do a segment on our show called Random Season Recall. And Declan gave us the 2013 Twins as a random season recall. Can you name, so the Twins had 8 starting pitchers in 2018 that started at least 10 games. Can you name any of them? Can you name any of them?
2013 started at least 10 games. Let me, the Vanimal, that wasn't the Vanimal, was it?
The Vanimal is one of them. That is
the Vanimal is one of them. That should have been the first sign that the pitching was a little shaky when the Vanimal was your opening day hot chucker, and he was built like me. that was a bad sign. Did Pedro Hernandez get 10 that year? Did he?
That's two.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Oh boy.
That's now you really tested me though. 2013, man, alive.
I think you just got the hardest one, though. Pedro Hernandez might have been the hardest one.
Well, I remember him because a year later he was pitching for the Saints. He was making clutch starts in September, right, for that. What did that team go? How many did they lose? 68 and 94, maybe?
66 and 96.
96, yeah. Okay. That was, oh, God almighty. Sam DeDuno.
Wow, look at this. This is a master of his craft right here.
Yes. Okay. What a memory.
But it's not. It's flaming out right now. Andrew Albers didn't get it. Oh, I don't know if that was.
No, we're going to.
Did he make 10?
Four for four.
How many was the team leader? How many did the team leader have?
There was a man who started 31 games for the Minnesota Twins that season.
Wow, he was our ace. Who the hell was it? Gibby? Not Gibby yet. Gibby wasn't there. No, Gibby.
Wow. This is the Michael Jordan shrug game against the Blazers. This is 1992.
Nicholas, 86 at Augusta.
Gibby was there, but I don't have the guy who made 31. Huh?
You're missing three. You're missing guys who made 31, 29, and 24 starts.
So they're three most prominent starters. I don't know why. I can't remember those, right?
All of them were basically the same guy. One was a lot younger than the other two.
Oh, man. So, in other words, they were pitching to contact is what you're telling me.
Oh, yeah. That is correct. Aggressively pitching to
contact. You'll be upset on at least two of them if you don't get them.
Oh, yeah. I'm giving up, but I should have gotten all eight.
Kevin Correa, Mike Pelfrey, and Scott Diamond.
Scott Diamond, how could I forget him? Now, was that his good year?
No, I think the wheels had come off a little bit here.
When was he their ace? Was that the previous year?
2012, yeah.
Yes, and we were very optimistic about him. And then he couldn't have pitched for the Meesville Mudheads the next year. He was terrible.
You know what the best part is, Royce? The best part is Big Pelf and the Shoe are the same guy because there's always a reason why they fail. And it's not their fault.
How could I miss
Pelf? Was great at that. Pelf had an excuse every time.
Yeah, but not as good as this guy. I don't think he ever used sweaty hands for giving up 9 and getting one out, did he? He never used sweaty hands.
A lot of excuses, not that one, but he used
someone needs to show Matt Shoemaker that little white bag behind the mound. It's called
yes,
the bottom bag.
There's a reason. They just started using that, though, like in 1890, though, right? So I don't think it is. He's probably never noticed it. It's unbelievable. Did you guys ever read Ring Lardner's Alibi Ike?
No.
It's a thing about a baseball player who several little short stories about Alibi Ike, who had an alibi for everything, every one of his failures. It's hysterical. It's like 100 years ago, but it's Alibi Ike and we got to have something that rhymes with shoe. I'm not sure what, sweet talking shoe or some damn thing like that. It's unbelievable.
We were saying in a year in which pitchers have been using like any substance they can get their hands on. This dude has a 7.5 earned run average.
He needs permission to cheat.
Hands. Like,
he needs
on,
to
man.
He needs to put in for an exemption to cheat.
So what are the odds Garrett Cole buzzes Donaldson tonight?
Ooh. It's actually tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I was wrong.
I thought Cole was pitching tonight.
The last thing I saw, it's Montgomery tonight and Cole tomorrow.
Oh,
night.
Okay.
But I think he buzzes him. I think he does for sure. It'll be great, too, because Josh will charge
him.
But
the only trouble with that is the umpires will be on high alert, right? So, just because they notice what's in the newspapers and stuff like that. So that could. But he might wait till the fifth or sixth inning, but he probably will get one. He'll get one in before he's done, right?
Yes.
I would have to think. That's right. The lefty's pitching tonight, Montgomery. So I'm going to say Paul and for Buxton. And I have a theory that he is embarking on the most important 3.5 months of his life, not because of that he could rescue the Twins in any way, but they got to make up their mind if they want to pay him or not, don't they?
Yes.
I mean, he's got to play 85% of the games from here to the odd, so they can, because it's $20 million a year. It's five for if he gets to next year, his free agent year, and he's having a good year, there's nothing, they can't offer him anything that he's going to sign. So really, I think this winter is their last chance to sign him. And but you really can't say, okay, we're going to give you five for 125 for five if he plays 90 games again this year. So it's you got to see him on the field for the next 3.5 months, almost all the time, I think, to decide what his future is with this team. Because to me, he's the only one of the veterans that really matters, that really has an impact on your future. I mean, you'd like to have Berríos, but, he's replaceable if you do something smart. But Buxton is not replaceable, and and he's also the reason you can field, hit, and pitch when he's out in center field, because he helps everybody 20%. So, but I don't know. It's you got to see him on the field. That's for sure.
Do you think Berríos gets traded in the next month and a half or so?
I think if they really get what they want, yes. But otherwise, they'll wait till winter, don't you think? But
there's more value now, right? I mean, they should do it now.
I think there's more value, right? And, a team like the Yankees that is looking at itself in fourth place and saying, what the hell are we doing here? We need one more starter. And they, they might dump out their farm system for you and give you their best pitching prospects and maybe another guy. Yeah, I think there is, because there's, 10, 12 teams that are looking. The Cubs are probably looking, right? The Cubs would give you, The Cubs didn't think they were going to be contenders, but they are. And
they're miserable, too. They're, mm-hmm. they did not plan this and did not want this.
No, kind of like the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Like, where'd this come from? We were in Fort Myers this spring, feeling sorry for the Red Sox. Oh, man, look at this team. Jeez, they stink. And they have no pitching. And, I bet they wish they were as good as the Twins.
You're not wrong.
Didn't quite work out that way. Alex Cora looks like the genius of all time, right? He's gone for a year. They're awful. And he comes back, and they're good again. So it's amazing. By the way, somebody was telling me a story about Bailey Ober, the kid that got called up, mm-hmm. that, the Twins drafted him and they like him. But the other pitcher they were considering at the time was Colton Burns, or Connor Burns. Is it Connor Burns? The kid at Milwaukee who never walks anybody and strikes out 12 a game.
Yes.
that would have punched up your rotation a little if you had Connor Burns, I would say. The Brewers are amazing. They don't score any runs and they're in first place.
Yeah, they could use, they could use? They could use a third baseman who's a veteran who can hit a bit, who you give to them if they take the contract.
But I don't think they're going to do that. How about a big first baseman? I'd rather get rid of
him. Okay, let's put them together. Let's drive them to Milwaukee and drop them off and then drive back, Pat.
I think the team they should be talking to about the first baseman is Miami. Miami, you know, thought they were on the way. They made the playoffs last year. They have no, you know, they have no power now, and they're 7-8 games under 500, and they're probably a little depressed down there. And Miguel will be close to home, and maybe I'd be taking a run at them trying to trade him there.
I agree. Yeah, they've got enough pitching. They could just literally give us like your 11th arm or something.
Yeah, give us a couple of your guys. We don't care. We'll take Max Meyer straight up. Let's go.
I bet they'd say absolutely not to that, right?
Well, he's not in the big leagues yet, so.
No, but I mean, he's still a pretty good prospect, and Miguel Sano is Miguel Sano.
Yeah, but, you know, if you throw him, it was proven again Saturday. If you're a left-hander and you throw him a cookie slider right in the middle of the plate, about 86 miles an hour, he can hit it a long way. Do that, you know. All he needs is more cookie sliders. That's. But over the plate, if they're cookie sliders, but they're away, you'll miss them by a foot.
Yeah.
But,
so but, Pat, today is the first day of Green Bay Packers minicamp, and what Judd and I and Declan are trying to figure out here is, okay,
he so didn't Packers, show right.
He did not show. So the Packers think, well, we'll just wait him out. We've got some leverage. We'll just wait him out, and he'll eventually just come walking back with his tail. This man, Aaron Rodgers, cut his mom, dad, and siblings off at the knees 10 years ago. He doesn't give a rip about Mark Murphy and Matt LaFleur and those guys.
Silverstein, I think I heard him on a podcast of a national interview or something, maybe on our station, one of the ESPN shows. And he said, when he has a grudge, he has a grudge. It's for life. You know, it's for life. And, you know, he now has a grudge. But I think they can't go out and say, well, yeah, we're going to get rid of him. I think they know they're going to trade him. They're waiting. You know, they had to wait past June 1st, right, to really keep from getting absolutely slaughtered in the salary cap. But I think he'll get traded. Where's he going, though?
The Broncos make a lot of sense still. Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Broncos,
the Broncos make a ton of sense.
Yeah, because I don't think they like losing out there, do you? I mean, Elway left, though, right? He quit.
No, he kicked himself down. He kicked himself upstairs, I think, and so it's Peyton now doing the football decisions.
Well, that would be quite a melding of egomaniacs, wouldn't it? Elway and Rodgers, but. You know, last time they brought in an old quarterback, he didn't have as much life in him as this one, and they won the Super Bowl. So, you know, Peyton was a third as good as Rodgers is right now when they traded for him, and they took him off the scrap heap. But no, they're gonna trade him. It's just they really can't announce that they're gonna do it. But they screwed up by not doing it with San Francisco before the draft, right, and get the third pick. And go from there, right? Maybe San Francisco didn't want to do it. Maybe they thought they were getting their answer. I don't know. I don't know. But there's no chance he's coming back because he'll leave the money on the table if he has to, because he is not going to lose a power fight. He just doesn't do that. So as you point out, you know, his brother was a fellow quarterback, right? Went to Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. It's on TV. I don't think they talk either, do they?
No.
Let's just say when it was time on that season of The Bachelorette with JoJo, when it was time to go visit Jordan Rodgers' family and hometown, there was a lot of awkward tap dancing around the absence of his brother. Yeah.
He is, they're low-key in the relationship this time, though, even though he's engaged, right? But we heard a lot more about the previous two girlfriends than we did this one.
She claims, though, that they, like, met and then moved in together almost immediately now. I just saw a story about
and you know who introduced him to her? You know who introduced him to her? Danica. But that's dangerous.
You never want to do that.
Don't ever introduce an athlete to a younger, more wholesome young lady, else you're in trouble. Because they'll drop you.
I sense a column. The Royce rules of life. 70-plus years of experience. That can be number one.
There was a young former twin who I won't name when I was covering the team. But I met his high school. He was only a couple of years out of, he made the club young. He was only a couple of years out of high school, maybe three. And I ran into him one day in the Boston Sheraton, and he introduced me to his high school girlfriend. And she was a nice kid, but she didn't, she wasn't drop dead, you know, wasn't like, wow.
Six.
And, about a year later, he was engaged to, he'd upgraded, as far as the looks department. The poor high school girl was back home and, doing what she did. And he traded her in, and that, and he was a really nice young man. And that proved to me, none of them can be trusted. Okay. Don't trust an athlete. They can't be trusted.
You're only as loyal as your options.
The Royce
yes,
rules.
That's true. And they have options. I'm like most. So anyway.
Oh, amazing. Right. That is Patrick Royce. We'll talk tomorrow. All right.
That was a mic drop.
Oh, my God.
You can find him also on Royce Unchained with Judd every single Monday. He also does Royce on Baseball and Monday Night Sports Talk. All of it on the Royce Unchained podcast.
What a great, what a mic drop. Even he said, see you, bye, and hung up.
Royce relationship advice. I can see it.
It's the rules. It's the rules. He's just doing a good job of giving them to us.